This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am your host, Chris Spangle. To my right is Greg Lenz.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing fantastic. To my left is Maya Axton.
Hey, what's up, bitches?
All right. And then shortly, we were going to begin at 7:30 tonight. It is now 8:01. And we were waiting for Gina, but we're going to go ahead and start. She'll be along shortly.
Standard Gina time.
Standard Gina time. She's been in the South, where things move a little slower. So,
that sounds racist, Chris.
No, it's not. You go to
racist.
You go to Florida. Like, my grandparents live in St. Augustine, Florida, and like the restaurants there, it takes like 10 minutes for somebody to seat you, which in Indianapolis that's unheard of. It's ungodly. So we have nothing. You know, it's the solid German people that we're sprung out of.
Very true.
So, anything going on this week that we can talk about?
That's relevant, interesting, and or, you know, able to be talked about in an intelligent manner? Not really. Some sports team just really pissed off a bunch of cops by telling them they can't bring in guns when they're off duty.
And what?
Badges don't grant extra rights.
This is
people.
The big breaking news in anarchist world. We can't take our guns somewhere.
No. Normal people haven't been allowed to. The cops are now pissed off because they're not allowed to off duty. But now they're pissed because they're like, we're cops. We have badges. They grant extra rights. We should be able to bring guns.
Well,
I was thinking more in terms of the complete dysfunction of our political system and the... I mean, hey, if you don't want to get all control of your life out of the hands of these people in Washington, D.C., then I don't know what will do it.
You know, though, if you were gone for, like, the last 16 days... All that would have happened, you wouldn't notice the government shutdown. You would have not been a part of all of this end-of-the-world, scorched-earth stuff that ultimately ended up, guess what, government decided to keep itself going.
Wait, are
going.
You telling us that, are you alluding to the fact that there is no difference between the Republicans and Democrats and that they use this as nothing but a giant ploy and the shutdown was only to bring people to the attention that the government is your all-powerful, all-benevolent leader, and that this was nothing but a joke. There is no crisis, and no matter what, things are going to keep going as they've always kept going.
Yep, that would be about it.
Yeah, basically, they got us really scared. They got us really worked up. They toyed with our emotions. And then in the end, the federal government couldn't even get a catastrophe right. I mean, they can't even manage a crisis.
Well, think about it. If they allowed a default to happen, or they allowed the government to keep going, that could have possibly, through a very slim chance, because people love worshiping the state and their state overlords. But it could have come to threatening their power, and they could have lost power or being thrown out of power. And they will not allow that to happen. That's why they let people blow off some steam in a approved manner by tearing down barriers and rioting at the – or throwing a little hissy fit with their
mowing
rebel
the
flags
grass.
At White – yeah, the White House, mowing the grass and driving their big rigs, all five of them, around the loop in D.C. They're approved ways of blowing off steam, and now we get back onto it. People calm back down and hold down the rhetoric, and, you know, they got what they needed, and – in 2014 and 2016, a vast majority, 90% or higher, of incumbents will be voted back in, and nothing's changed.
Maya always with the hopeful outlook.
Well, but am I wrong? Am I wrong? Remember, what year did Barry Goldwater run for office?
64.
Right.
64. So it's been, what, 60 years almost? Since
50?
There are 50 years since he ran, and he was more libertarian than... 90% of the candidates today, and he, let's see here, he had a decent chance of winning, and he was a takeover of the Republican Party from the inside when the Republicans and Democrats were much more diametrically opposed, and politics were a lot less corrupt. But, you know, hey, you know, 50 years, a lot more corruption and power. Yeah, we have a better chance now. Sure, yeah, it's just magically going to change with the Tea Party.
All right, so that's a lot of Maya right there in the beginning, Greg. So why don't we get to...
She nailed it.
Yeah, I know. But
my only disagreement is I think a lot of Democrats are going to win now.
I like that Dan Peffers, not Chris, who was on last week, wrote me and he said, you know, Maya was respectful, thoughtful, well-spoken, lots of pertinent facts. I think the real question out of that episode is, what have you done with the real Maya?
Other than you, partially Greg and Emily, nobody knows who the real Maya is, and you only know so much.
Right.
So it's an ever evolving question of who Maya is, what is she going to do next, and who am I going to shoot in the face for saying what, or will I actually shoot you in the face? Are there actually bullets in my gun?
And yes. The answer is no.
I say yes.
I say no. Don't put that down. Don't touch that. Put that down.
What are those?
Yeah.
Oh, those are bullets.
Those are Hydra Shocks. Those will destroy you.
All right. Enough about guns. Enough about your violence.
Goddamn.
Okay. So, Greg Lenz, tell us what has happened.
What I believe happened is a continuing resolution was passed that was ultimately the original Senate bill, so Ted Cruz dehydrated himself and got probably bunions for absolutely no reason at all. Obamacare goes on.
Well, you know, there was a reason for it.
What was that?
Don't forget to mention, he made himself look like a champion of the people. He was basically politicking up there for re-election. There was a very, very valid good reason for that.
He won re-election when he was a Hispanic conservative in Texas.
He won you mean election.
We have
a phone call.
Who is on the line?
Oh, I know who's on the line, but let's mute them for just a second, because I know who it is, the Democrat.
Oh, Comrade Ripley is on.
But no, go ahead and give us the rundown of what happened last night and what we're talking about.
Well, what happened was everything fell apart early in the morning. The only thing readily available was the existing Senate bill, which the Republicans decided to blink first. It was passed in the House, passed in the Senate. Government reopens. The debt ceiling was moved back to February 7th, the next time we'll go up against it. And what I think you saw last night was the death of modern American conservatism. The Republican Party for the last 20 years is dead. It can no longer operate within this framework.
Why would you say that?
Because what they stand for, cultural conservatism and fake small government and fake tax cuts and fake blah, 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 is now untenable and cannot work in this framework.
Wait a minute. You're the scumbag Republican on the show.
Oh, I know. I always have been.
You're saying that in the past 20 years it's been good or decent?
No.
Okay, so this is...
It was able to work within the framework of the existing political atmosphere.
You can go ahead and...
So you're saying that exercising what most conservative Republicans would believe in is not ever going to happen again in the federal level?
It is. I think last night we saw the actual death of the GOP as we've known it the last 30 years.
Okay, but why?
Because what they stand for is no longer possible anymore. You can definitely get like an Amash or someone that's a very principled libertarian within the GOP or a Libertarian Party member can actually make the deals necessary, the grand bargains. Like, let's say gay marriage, as long as we pair it in the same bill with massive tax cuts or entitlement reform. The GOP, they're so limited and boxed in, they can't function and get change anymore.
So there's nothing left to deal.
They need a Copernican revolution.
So wait, are you saying that the two-party system has failed and that trying to change a very corrupt and irrelevant GOP is a bad idea, and that if there was a third party where these libertarian-esque people could go and libertarians could be, that it wouldn't be necessarily the same problem and that libertarians in their own party could gain better traction?
I do. No, I always have thought, I mean, you see, I mean, well, one, you don't like the state, period, ever.
You called anybody who votes an a-hole on Facebook today.
No, if you vote in 2016 to give somebody the most amount of power any human beings has ever held in the history of the world by being president of the United States, you are an a-hole for thinking that even for a second to allow somebody to even for a moment hold that much power. You hate individual liberty.
All
period.
Right. And let's not get off on a tangent. But we are going to have, towards the end of the show, a discussion of the binary and why binary is a bad thing. But let's go to our friend Ryan Ripley, because I would say, based on our chat conversations today, Ryan Ripley agrees with you about the death of the Republican Party. What say you, Mr. Ripley?
I heard just the part about where I might agree with someone. The rest of it cut off. What am I agreeing or disagreeing with?
Did you not hear Greg's rant about how the GOP is dead?
Oh, I totally agree with Greg that the GOP is dead on arrival. 2014 is a slaughter. We're going to have a supermajority Democratic power in the last couple years of Obama's term, and everyone hang on to your hats. It's going to get nuts.
I don't believe that, crazy, because the Republicans are smart enough to gerrymander things to where they can't get into another situation where they lose that badly. So that's the only area we disagree on, comrade.
Greg, I don't know. I think that this has played out so badly that there's going to be a compelling reason to even knock down. Hey, look, in Indiana, I think the seats are secure. I think people like Stutzman, I know he's going to get primaried, or at least they're going to take a shot at him. I think Walorski will end up with a primary contest. I think you're going to see they're going to try to move back to moderate, and that's just going to – if the establishment is successful at getting – Justin Amash, Thomas Massey, those kind of people out, and you may as well have elected a Democrat anyways.
You know, I agree, but that's going to be the tragic flaw, is they don't know they died last night, so what they're going to do is try to be Democrat light, and that will kill – I mean, they're already dead, and that will be – they'll be buried under concrete.
Haven't they already pretty much been Democrat light for the last – well, since Reagan?
They've
basically been Democrat light. But you know what the good thing about the GOP dying and being come just kind of irrelevant and just kind of like just people yelling in the background, oh, no, don't do that, no, is that maybe we won't have to watch these fake battles happen anymore. We won't have to watch these, quote unquote, these little tiny fights go back and forth and these false crises between these two parties. And then maybe libertarians will finally stop hearing excuses if you don't vote Republican or Democrat, then the other guy wins because, well, the other guys are always going to lose.
No, yeah. Ripley, I mean, what I see, the only reason I don't believe that is it's not a presidential election year, and though historically the midterms turned out to be elderly and white. And so that's why, I mean, as long as it's a 52-48 district, I think you're going to see the Republican win. Anything remotely in between, I think you're going to see the Democrat win after this. This was just a tragic mistake.
I think you're going to see a lot of disgruntled people. I think the rhetoric, the ads are just going to be brutal. If you guys thought that this last cycle, the ads were nuts, I think just the veracity, the vitriol that comes out of these ads in 2014 are just going to be nuts. The GOP is going to be fighting within itself. The party splits next year, guys. I think they're done. But like I said, if Amash and Massey and some of those guys, if they don't make it through, the party split, the base is just totally disenfranchised. And I think it's just all shades of bad. I don't think Boehner and McConnell, McConnell got his billions of dollars for a bridge in Kentucky. But I don't think they realize just what they surrendered by caving in at the last moment. Obama does not have to deal with the GOP anymore, right? So they can threaten all they want, but at the end of the day, they're going to cave. They have the Democrats have the media. They have the right branding and messaging. They can spin anything that's going on into a Republican, anarchist, type of fault. The GOP has just been so brilliantly outplayed, it's ridiculous, and that they are now completely irrelevant.
Well, I guess this is all really good news for people like me, because now people have yet one step further lost a voice in their own government. Thought that you really had a voice anyways, but now you've lost one more way to have a voice and voice your opinion and fight the system. So people like me, the ranks of anarchists is going to grow so much quicker and faster because people can go, wait, I really don't have a voice in Washington. The Democrats hold majority power, super majority power, not the Republicans were much different. I hope plenty of people will finally give in to the fact that trying to change the GOP from the inside is a failed strategy.
Not just that, but the fact that they have the ability to take you to the brink of financial ruin. Because we have the fiat currency system that we discussed the last show, our collective future is in the hands of these people. The actual government, it can't work. The two-party system does not work in America anymore. You know, the whole notion of, well, we can't have a three-party system. What, are we going to be Britain? Well, let's try it, because frankly, this is not working for us.
But the Republicans have a history of rewriting their platform. They've always been the party. The Democrats have never really changed.
No, both of them have been inconsistent historically. Remember, people like Democrats here used to be anti-gay and supported anti-sodomy laws.
They still do, by and large.
In their membership, but not at their top of their platform. The only people that have been consistent for any period of time has been libertarians and kind of crazy environmentalist wackos. That's really about it. I mean,
yeah, I mean, the socialists found their home in the modern Democrat Party, but the GOP, I think that they're going to face a choice. Is they can go libertarian, and we'll never have full libertarian in an existing political party, which I hate. But I think the GOP, Rince Priebus, is going to have to decide, who are we? Are we the Dixiecrats or are we libertarians?
And I think one point that people should agree on is that let them die, let the power structure die. Just
blood
all the old money. Well, permanently stop supporting it. Like people like Ron Paul, he'll never stop cheering for the Republican Party. Even if they came out and they rebranded themselves as socialists, he will never stop cheering the Republican Party. And that's the same for so many other groups. Freedom Works will never stop championing the R's. And why don't we just let it die? Just let it. It's not too big to fail. Oh no, there's that statement. Let it die and rebuild with the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party. Let's have 10 parties going. Why not? Let's try that. Because how long have we had two parties for?
There's way too much at stake, though. So there's people in the middle class, upper middle class, and the wealthy. They have hundreds of thousands of dollars in 401ks. They have investments that they don't want to see crashing down. So for the government to actually crumble on itself, those people are going to have to be either just so disenfranchised and disillusioned that they stop trying to prop it up, or for some other reason, they're going to have to give up. There's such a pull to keep this propped up, to keep the shell game going, that, you know, the two-party system is safe to those people. You know, they get to keep the flat-panel TVs on the wall. They get to take their one or two vacations a year. You start introducing third parties, or you start mixing it up, all of a sudden those things are at risk, and people will fight against that like crazy, and that's why we're not making progress.
So are you saying that incrementalism is a bad idea because the vast majority of people that will influence and control the system of power will never give up their freebies and their gimmies and their safe little lives?
I'm saying the game's over. You know, it's a house of cards. It's a beach house up on stilts. The waves are coming in, and there's going to be a ton of people fighting against any solution that we're going to have to try to fix it. There's going to be so much money and so much power trying to keep us away from a true solution that I no longer believe that parties are the solution. I don't think it's within either party to correct the direction of the nation. I don't think the Libertarian Party can get a foothold anymore. Look at what happened in Ohio. They're passing laws to effectively ban that party from elections in that state. And I think this debacle in Virginia, where Sarvis is running at 10-12%, and still not guaranteed debate access, that will probably lead to some laws next year that frees out the Libertarian, because he's had such an impact on that race. I mean, watch as these power structures, they work. This will be the one thing that R's and D's agree on, is that you got to keep the Libertarians out.
So, somebody's playing with their mic a little too hard.
Yeah, you're a little windy there, caller.
Well, I think they let I'm not ready to say it's just ball game over. And, I mean, I said last night, I thought, like, what we had talked about on the former show, that the Tocqueville threshold's been passed. But Rand Paul is playing an incredibly high-risk strategy right now. He was dead silent on the debt ceiling. I mean, he didn't say a peep anywhere. If he can get within, if he can be the nominee in 2016, he might be Goldwater, but he might change the conversation enough to change the Republicans enough that they become the party of no more cultural issues. We are strictly focused on economic principles and what is
they
best
lose
for
half
our
their voter base if they don't rail against the gays.
I know.
Now, basically, what everyone's saying here, but is too afraid to admit that it is now time for people like me to shine. It is time for people like me to do things our way. We've sat here and been oppressed by your stupid way for damn long enough. It's time to let people like me off the leash and let us try it our way. Why not? You guys have had 200 some odd years.
When have you not shined?
Hey Ripley, let me ask you a question. You have seemed to sound more like Maya than a Democrat lately, including you've been calling me a statist recently. Ripley, you have moved a little more anarchist. Basically, I think it was Jeffrey Tucker and Maya both have just destroyed you as a statist, including you've been calling me a statist recently. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say minarchist gonna minarchist, but what has changed for you? What has kind of made you go, you know what? I don't think there should be any government, and I might not even vote because I don't want to be an a-hole.
It's really just this. It's a shell game, guys, and that finally just clicked in my head. The money is no better than the stuff that comes in a Monopoly board game. These false crises are just political theater. It's all a house of cards built on fear and hate and this false sense of competition between parties. They're both colluding. I mean, there's proof of that Boehner and Obama were working on this political theater, and they're working out how it would go, and it's just such a house of cards.
I want someone to ask whether Mitch McConnell essentially manipulated this entire thing so he could get $2.9 billion, stop his primary, and win.
He's not the one that introduced it. And he wouldn't have had control to introduce it. It was two other people on a special board to introduce. Now, favors flow around. Have you not seen the show House of Cards?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
But that's everything. There's not a single thing in all of our government that's not – we're from Indiana, guys. You've all seen what's happened here. Look at what went on with the land bank. Well, look what goes on with their police forces. Look at places like Greenfield and our city councils. That's all the way up to the top. It's retarded. But all right. Congratulations, Ryan Ripley, for finally being enlightened and joining the Jedi forces against the evil and the dark side.
How do you know he's not a Democrat plant that just came here, brought everything to the ground?
Because he knows if he screws with me, he's dead.
I would like to start calling him Ryan Lippy. He does get a little lippy every once in a while. All right, Ripley.
Guys, I don't want to burn the government down, but I'm also just finally at that point where it's like they can't solve the problem. There's no solutions that are going to come out of Washington, D.C. I think Tucker's right, where we need to figure out ways to work around or tunnel under and just try to protect our families, protect our friends, and try to be ready for when does anyone disagree with the idea that it's inevitable that this is all coming down?
Been saying that for years, buddy. So has lots of other people. But
I disagree.
I'm definitely glad that you are no longer going to be one of those people that stand in my way when I go to do things the right way, finally. So I will never, as long as you don't stand in my way, which doesn't sound like you will, everything will be fine. And we will make sure that your families are safe and protected as long as you support us or at least stay out of the way.
Maya Axton, making the case for Rwanda, one podcast at a time.
Right, it sounded very mafia there, didn't it?
Hey, it's Gina Martinez. Gina, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
All right, Ripley, hang up on yourself, all right?
All right, have a good show, guys.
All right, see you later. All right, we've got another caller on the line. I'm sorry somebody dropped off. We didn't get to him quickly enough. 1-765-465, and you can finish out, if you can figure out the last four, you can give him a call. With whom are we speaking, using the Queen's English?
Everyone's favorite, Travis White.
Oh, hey, Travis.
Travis, what's going on?
Why, I've talked to the Wikes way too much today, and no, I have not seen Brazil.
Do you want me to hang up on him?
No.
No, you know what? Hang up. Hey, Travis, hand the phone to your wife. I'd much rather keep talking to her.
All right, Travis, what are your thoughts on the government shutdown and political parties? And just give us your general impression, or what did you want to call about? What do you want?
Well, I didn't really notice that the government shut down, except that I had weekend free from guard obligation.
Yep.
But other than that, I was just calling to see what you guys thought of the fact that healthcare.gov is only using open source code without the copyright tag.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. I just put it up on my Facebook.
Travis, for those of us that are not entirely computer savvy, what does that mean?
The code used for healthcare.gov was evidently written by Sky Media, a British developer. And it says on there, if you use this code, you need to put the copyright, a 2008 to 2012 copyright. And they evidently just maybe forgot the copyright line.
Which means down at the bottom of the website in the footer, you would write, hey, thanks to these people for letting us use their code.
Assuming we didn't just take it, right?
Right. Well, you just can't take it. That's part of the American copyright law, which...
Well, no, legally you can't just take it, but right. They could have allegedly pirated
but,
it.
But my intellectual property.
Because it is open source, anybody can use it, you just have to give them credit.
Oh, okay.
Because they want their company to get credit. So maybe not in this case. I'm sure they're not really actually smarting from not getting credit for healthcare.gov, though, Travis.
Right. They did mention in the article I read, they said they are extremely disappointed to see the code used without the copyright notice.
Now, how much did the website cost?
Man, they really got him a good stern warning there. We're very disappointed in you.
I think that's a good question, Maya.
Greg, how much did a website cost?
$631 million.
You know how much? You know what kind of website Chris Spangle here could build for that much money? Oh, he could rebuild the entire interwebs.
Holy shit.
I know. All right.
A little libertarian perfect world.
Yep. So, okay. All right. Well, anything else, Travis, before I hang up on you? All right. Well, that's great. Thanks, Travis. Okay. So.
Big gulps, huh?
You're a horrible host to a call-in show, dude.
No, I understand that you must love the listener and hate the caller. You got to be speedy. You got to be snappy. You got to get to the point.
Unless you're J. Mark English, who, please call in.
Have you not listened to my show?
No,
I let those guys talk forever. I want to have conversation with people. I don't, Rush Limbaugh. Hi, how you doing? I'm going to drive this point home. Let you say three words. Bye.
Well, that's because this is not your show. Go ahead, talk.
Mine's better.
See? Mic's off. Boom.
You turn off my mic! I'm going to stab you!
That's what we call Spangle Justice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was watching the news before you all got here, and the part of the problem with the healthcare.gov website is that it was estimated to cost around $90 million, and the actual website cost... $631
million.
The entire project, but the actual site cost around $250. Now, instead of the most tech-savvy administration of all time going to his buddy Eric Schmidt and saying, hey, who's some good developers that we could hire? You got any Google people that maybe could do it? You know who they went to?
What's that guy's name? Stephen Chin?
Right. He's the guy managing the project. But the people who built the website were defense contractors.
Yeah.
You know why defense contractors?
I do not, actually.
Because they are better able to manage the bureaucracy of payment, receivables, accounting in regards to the federal government than an initial startup would be.
What about that $1 trillion missing in Iraq that they were responsible for keeping
track
of?
Oh, pish posh.
A trillion.
You conservatives with
your... A trillion here, a trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Who's counting dollars?
Right. I mean, not the government. And thus, you are basically illustrating why you cannot have government be in charge of anything, really. Because
for people like you, except police, courts, justice, fire departments, roads, you know, things like that. But, you know, continue.
Maya, who would build our roads?
I am fine.
My roads!
I am fine with fire and roads and all that good stuff being done by private contractors. So,
but what about courts and justice? Do you think
please do not farm those out.
Stop being tangential, okay? So,
I just want to make sure that people are listening.
Listen, hold
always
on.
Remember your status.
All right, hey. Okay. There we go.
Maya, Monty, Maya.
So... what was I talking about? But here this illustrates the problem with government, is that you have this product that needs to be built. They estimate a cost. They triple the cost of the website, and they farm it out to their buddies. I mean, it's standard operating procedure for building government products.
They don't do anything well. I mean, they do failure fantastic. Like, they exceed incredibly well at underestimating and then screwing it up and then going to have to go get more money. Perfect example, Mitch McConnell. Him getting that $2.9 billion for that water project in Kentucky, its initial estimate was $632 or $635 million.
Right.
Close. About a third.
$3
billion? Yeah. Okay. Can you imagine if Obamacare... misses by that much? Ball game.
So you know how many people thus far have signed up in Delaware for Maya's taking a nap?
The Bidens, and not all of them.
No, two people in Delaware have signed up for the healthcare exchanges.
Wow, so two. Just Jill and Joe.
Two people have made it through the labyrinth that is healthcare.gov to
that
get healthcare.
That is insane.
Yeah. There is no way on God's green earth. And this sort of is the stupidity of the Republican strategy for the shutdown. There's no way on God's green earth that they can get enough people into these exchanges by December to make this work. It's going to fail by the beginning of the year. By January 1st, it will be over.
It was tragically flawed from the beginning. Their design flaw is such an amateur mistake. It's incredible.
There's a good reason why they're doing this. Very good reason. This is how government works. Remember, if something fails, they don't scrap it. They make it bigger and more powerful. This is what they've done with many controversial bills, is they introduced a weak version of it, say, see, it doesn't work. It needs to be bigger and stronger. Give us more power. They get more power because of the false left-right paradigm, and then they make it bigger. So it's single payer, going to happen. Everything Obama ever promised about healthcare will happen because it was doomed to fail from the launch on purpose. This is government 101 here. It's not like some massive revelation that, oh my God, this sucks, it's not going to work. It's like, oh my God, it sucks, it's not going to work, and they're going to make it bigger.
There was a little Trojan horse in the continuing resolution too. The Republicans called it a compromise that now they have to have income verification on subsidies, where before it was the honor system. So now they have to, verify you actually make as much as you do. How do you think they're going to do that? The IRS.
Oh.
Yeah.
Guess what data they're going to mix together? Your health data and your financial data.
Right.
Oh, and guess, you know what they're really going to start doing? They want inside your home.
Oh, yeah.
They want door to door. First off, they create a lot of jobs, but they want inside your home, period.
In what way?
They want to have a human being inside your door. That's why they use GPS that's why the census last time around was so instrumental to everything. They want to use the police. That's why they listed veterans and like people with kids and smokers. That's pretty much everybody. But now they have a reason to put their feet in the door. And once they do that, they can say, because for health reasons or because of a statute of Obamacare, we need to have access to your home at all times.
All right, so let's make Maya put on her statist hat and talk about the politics of all this. And I want to talk a little bit about the left-right and the binary and all that. Thank you for putting on your hat, Maya. You look lovely. And now that's not polite at all, that gesture there.
Out of the table, Carlos.
Yeah. Okay. So I hate the nerd Super Bowl of who won or who lost or any of that good stuff, because it isn't that kind of game. But
there is no arguing that anyone won except President Obama, Harry Reid, and the Democrats.
This is all going to happen again in a few months. And, you know, this was a lot of fun these last 16 days. Let's do it again in January. What do you guys say?
What the hell? Bring it off the ground.
No, because there was so much state worship going on.
And all right.
No. This wasn't fun because when you look at it and when it's over and you realize you were just played and you've got the media, you've got talking heads, you've got pundits, you've got retards like you guys all buying into it basically.
I was
just
totally
for,
just thinking we
giggles,
had.
Is that... That you're being played. There's nothing real or honest about any of these people. You know why the Republicans fight this stuff and the Democrats fight the Republicans? It's because that's what they're elected, quote unquote, hired to do.
Right.
So they're only putting on a show for their little group of people that, you know, 30% of the eligible voting population that votes for them. So they make sure they continually have their jobs. That's all it is. You know, they donated their weekly pay to a charity or something. Oh, my God. Like, who's the guy that just retired after 30 years?
Lautner.
Yeah, he, what, worth $59 million? Yep. And they just gave his wife, or he died, but they just gave his wife another $174,000. They remember, we talked about this a couple episodes ago. They don't live in reality.
Well, it's like saying, oh, well, Boehner lost. He's done as speaker. Well, yeah, his retirement will include a seven-figure salary at a lobbying firm, and you're going to be calling him Mr. Speaker for the rest of his life. Plus, he's going to get a pension and benefits for the rest of his life. 80%
of his average earnings in the House over the course of his career.
Right.
And you can't change anything he did while in office.
Right.
Congratulations.
So,
and he can't be held legally responsible for anything that he did that violated any codes.
Oh,
or...
some of us remember. Some of us will
remember.
I'm
just saying that's a flaw in our system and within our government is that we have no way of holding our elected officials accountable for the decisions that they make, whether they make them in our best interest or their own.
Well, but that's part of the dangers of a republic, and you have elections, but our elections are tragically broken too. But okay, so we're doing a lot of government hating here. So let's talk about what we can do to fix it. Where do we be? Hold on now. Let me set it up before you rant. Just you're 100% correct. Okay, I think that this has been an entire exercise where everybody goes, okay, I get it. This is all a complete ruse.
It's Broadway play.
You're just doing this to raise money for your side, and then the pundits like to play who wins or loses. You know, when there aren't winners or losers, it's just, you know, and that's part of the problem with the debt ceiling anyways, is that it is now designed, and it will forever be this kind of drama that we all have to risk default, when we are never going to really default anyways.
No, we can always service our debt.
Right. You know, what was going to actually happen if we went past November 1st is that our debt would be paid, our creditors would be paid. It's going to be basically the poor people that don't get paid, not China.
Well, really the elderly.
Yeah.
Because welfare is a little tiny sliver compared to Social Security and Medicare.
Social Security and Medicare payments would be stalled if they would go out at all. And then by that time, the pain would be so great that legislators would fold left and right.
There would be wheelchair riots all over America.
Right. And this is part of my argument that this has all been stupid and that this is... sort of even, you know, there have been a lot of libertarians rooting for, let's just go over the cliff. It's like, we need to default now. It's like...
There is no cliff. We're going to pay our debt.
Right. They're going to pay it. And
there's a reason why that would have been beneficial.
Well, let me outline my argument first, and then you tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay.
Okay? All right, deal. So here's my reasoning. Worst case scenario, which wasn't going to happen, but worst case scenario was that we default and we get downgraded and then we cause a global collapse and then the United States currency is no longer the world's currency and then a new world currency is ushered in and now you have the same buying power as somebody in Cambodia or, you know, the Congo or Zimbabwe. And that doesn't seem to be really a good strategy for libertarians. Secondly, the best case scenario was that you were going to have this... They set an arbitrary date. People are going to lose trust in the system. The stock market would crash today. There'd be a panic. You wouldn't have a run on banks. But it would kick it would kick us into a recession.
Did you see Chase was prepared for bank runs today?
That was a rumor.
That was a rumor?
Was it?
It wasn't one of their employees.
It was being pushed by InfoWars and National News as fact, but everywhere else, It was an unconfirmed rumor. So good job, Alex Jones.
So, and that means you'd have a little contraction in the economy. Maybe not a big one, but you would end up kicking more people onto welfare and becoming more dependent on the state.
And we were told the dollar would collapse. And our credit rating would be downgraded.
Right.
Which both, did you see the dollar today? Plummeted. Did you see our credit rating? Got downgraded.
Really? See, so all of that happened anyways because, A, they set a false date. The president goes out and threatens all of these things to happen, which is totally irresponsible of the president to do in the first place. You're the president of the United States. You don't threaten the markets. And then, so you just put more people on welfare. And if we were to have this global economic collapse, wouldn't we as libertarians want more time to get more listeners to this podcast, to convert more people to our way of thinking, to prepare? We want as long to prepare for this as possible instead of rooting for some kind of global collapse. So, Maya, why would it be a good idea for us to voluntarily go over the cliff and default on our credit and just say, F it?
First off, there wouldn't be a global collapse. That's absurd. But
that's why I said it was a long stretch. So don't.
Why it would be good to go now? First off, is your money is it worth more now than it was yesterday or less?
I don't have any money, so it doesn't really matter.
Less. So your taxes are going to go up. The cost of living is going to go up. Things are going to get harder. There's going to be more of the police state, more of the military-industrial complex. Government's going to keep growing. The longer we allow it to survive, the bigger it's going to get, the worse it's going to get for us. So instead of being somewhat capable now, being somewhat prepared, having what we have, because we're not going to really gain much going into the future, we're going to lose more and more and more as we go. We have some momentum where we're at. We have people that are prepared and have preparedness, and we still have some older people that are around that have actual skill sets and can hunt and clean and cook and build stuff. So before all those people die, it might be a good idea to let this stuff collapse. And I'm not really being facetious here. I'm not.
That's a legitimate point.
No, it's not.
What would you kill for dinner if you could not go to Kroger?
How old are you? You are 26 and you have more skills than any person I know over the age of 60.
Yes, but how many of me are there?
Right.
The people that you are talking about, do you think baby boomers have those skills? No, you're talking about
the greatest generation,
and they're 90. Baby boomers don't have any knowledge other than talking about themselves.
You're out of your mind, Christopher Spangle. When do you think the television was invented?
It was invented in the late 30s, early 40s.
But people have the older generations, I'm talking like 40 plus. They still have some semblance of knowledge on how to live in day-to-day operations. There was less people living in the cities than there are now. Urbanization.
Okay, but here's
the distractions around us. That was my point with the television. We stopped going out into the wild and interacting with the environment around us when we became more comfortable in our homes.
Right.
The invention of the television revolutionized the way that Americans spend their time.
Right. And the
what would you kill tomorrow if Kroger imploded? If there was no Marsh, no Kroger, no Village Pantry, what would Chris Spangle eat?
Well, I'm looking at you.
If you could catch me and put me down, you would earn it.
Otherwise, no, but you're acting like everybody who's a baby boomer who is 60 years old
how to clean a fucking squirrel. Yes,
no, they
absolutely cannot.
I spend my life around baby boomers who are 60.
Here, hold on. Remember, I always say there's no absolutes, and I'm not talking about great quantities of people now.
Right.
I'm talking about some, because most people my age can't even change a tire on a car.
Fact.
And then there are some hunters out there, but without all their gear, without their special little spots, they couldn't hunt to save their lives.
All right,
they
we're stalled in a stupid argument. Let me counter.
I can keep going. I wouldn't finish my point.
All right. You're on the clock.
Things are going to get worse, right? That's a fact that the government's not going to get better. Things are going to get worse. The economy's going to get worse. More people are going to become more destitute than they are now. So why not, while we still have something and we have yet to hit absolute rock bottom on an individual basis across the gamut, why don't we just flip the switch now? Let's just go now. Have it now while we know what the world's like, while we know what's going on, and there's still something left to us versus going, well, let's lose a little bit more of our lives, money, and liberty.
Here's, all I'm saying is pizza plants.
Here is why pizza plants. Here's why your point makes no sense, because you are asking for there to be some sort of crisis, and what happens in a crisis? The Watts riots happen in a crisis. Okay, study the Watts riots. The
Don't
Watts
care.
Riot. Well, you should care, because history actually means you look back at history and it tells you
repeats.
About your future.
Yeah.
The Watts riots are the genesis for the Great Society, for an increase in police brutality, the creation of the SWAT team, the creation of the welfare state. That's what the Watts riots are. That happens in a crisis. In a crisis, that's when people turn to a strong man, to a more robust, active government.
Great Depression gave us FDR.
So are you going to have a better chance of converting people to your point of view in a stable environment, even though the state is growing, or are you going to have a better opportunity when people are hungry and desperate?
This is the thing, is that you're giving me a choice. Live in a slightly, well, about an equally dangerous environment, just different dangers. Or continue living under tyranny that will get worse. Those are the two choices you're giving people. Live under tyranny so maybe you can convince a couple more people
and get worse. That's a misrepresentation
of what
I'm saying.
No, that's exactly what you're saying.
No,
you're
it
saying,
is not.
Keep fighting against the man. Fight tyranny or horrible, evil, bad things are going to happen. You know, increased brutality, people wanting
this is,
more
why
of
people,
state.
This is why anarchists have a hard time convincing anybody to their side. Because
but no, that's
you
the
sat
thing,
here
though.
And said that there is no hope, that everything sucks, that everything you're all going to die. And
you
that,
just said the same thing if we don't have the
no,
state.
No, I'm not saying... No, I did not say that at all. That's a complete misrepresentation of what I just said.
You said if we do not continue going as we are
I said
and we
that
look for it, a crisis, it will get worse.
Can I finish? Can I finish?
No.
No. So what I said is that if we have another contraction, you're just going to add more people to the welfare rolls, which makes it harder. The choice of going over the cliff, the choice between what Barack Obama was offering and what Ted Cruz was offering is really not that much different, okay? But what Ted Cruz was offering was just a little bit more of less freedom. So you're right. There is a false choice there. I'm not saying we're going to have escape from L.A. I think that point of view is maybe 100 years down the road, 200 years down the road. That kind of post-apocalyptic, we're all going to have to eat people, that's not
ever going to happen.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that people like me, we're self-sufficient. We can only deal with the individual and our own consequences, our own responsibilities. We've come to the conclusion that we do not control other people's lives. We are not the saviors of the world. We're not some Americans that are there to save the whole world.
But I'm not arguing that, and you're trying to say that I'm arguing that, and that's wrong.
I did not just say that. What I'm saying is that's how anarchists see it. I don't really care how everybody else sees it, and that's the point, is that if we get the government to go into crisis and weaken just enough that we can split off our own areas and we can fight it off for long enough to establish ourselves and our own freedom, then they can try
is
to
that
build
the
up
course
they
of
want,
history?
But we've already
right.
established – it doesn't matter what – okay. What,
ask the Cherokee and all on. The Iroquois. How did that work out?
You know what?
You were
they
in these
went
nice
into
little
it
fenced
trusting.
In camps.
They went into it trusting the government. We're going into it not trusting a single thing about the government, knowing full well what history is, and knowing full well what we can do to protect ourselves. Then there's the also thing. There's this thing
but you
where,
don't have a tank.
Hold on.
You don't have drones.
I don't need a tank or drones to take them down. Simple. You know what all those things operate on? GPS and electronics. You know what I can make? I can make electromagnetic pulses and GPS blockers, which negates all technology
but you
in the
can't
government.
Avoid a $25 million bounty when they have a group of people looking for you and hunting you.
Hold on, this is the thing. Yes, oh my God, that's scary. Oh my God, the world's a big scary place. They can do that now with the NDAA and the Patriot Act. We talking here may one day in the very, very close future be public enemies,
so why,
be terrorists.
So why wouldn't you want to be politically active to go lobby Congress?
When was the last time government contracted? When? When was the last time the government shrank and did not gain more police state powers?
And isn't that exactly what we're saying to you, is that if the government were to collapse after the debt ceiling wasn't passed,
it would birth the son of unholy ghost.
Hold on. Hold on. There's a saying that pansies are very afraid of. People that cannot let go of the idea of the state and let go of the idea that
see,
they need...
See, that's the bullshit that you're spreading because you're sitting there
really?
Saying...
Really?
Yes.
You are so afraid of having to live by your own individual choices and consequences.
No, that is not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that you are living in a reality that does not exist, and you are trying to create a future that will never happen.
But that's just the way it is, so I guess we should just deal with it, so that's okay. But
right, I'm asking you to deal in the world that exists as you see it,
so
and how can, you, how can you change it? Because you and I are talking about basically the same vision. 100 years from now, we can argue about what's actually going this little argument that we have every week, that's what's going to happen. But what we're facing, the choice of default or the choice of the deal that got worked out is almost exactly the same thing. It's a growing state. So why wouldn't you want to be...
No, a default would have allowed global markets to adjust properly to move forward.
And okay, and what is the end result of the other side of that?
The end result is whatever we make of it. Okay. Now,
it's social unrest.
Hold on, there's another
masses.
Point. Right. That if we allow this break to happen, if
Thank
we allow
you,
a
Jesus.
Lapse in government power, some of us can finally choose and be able to live free. Some of us agree that it would be better to die a free man than to die a slave, like the rest of you think is okay.
So,
but you were fighting a man. You brushed off that whiplash. But you know what? You did good as a slave.
You've made your point. And you,
I made the point that you're all a bunch of pansies and that you're afraid of living a free life, even if it might be a tad bit shorter.
No, you're making no point at
all. P.S. I love Maya.
I'm not.
You're making no point at all because you're not dealing with the choice. You're not dealing with the question that was presented to you. You're ranting about what you'd like to have happen.
You gave me false context.
Oh, no, I didn't. Okay.
I said if after default right, there'd be break, we'd have a chance
for
something.
That's enough. We've got a phone call.
Oh, good Lord.
All right.
Screw you, caller.
Greg. We'll move on in just a second. 914-672, please save us. Who is this?
This is Mark from Westchester.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing? Is this J. Mark English?
This is the infamous, infamous J. Mark English.
Oh, thank you, sweet Jesus.
The voice of reason.
Thank you.
Oh, all is right.
What we have just endured was Maya telling us that we're a bunch of pansies.
We are!
If it wasn't for Maya... But Maya, first of all, you and I cannot be any more opposite of each other, and yet we're both anarchists. And only in this world of the internet could I ever develop this relationship with a person I've never met. And I appreciate Maya's rant, and I love her passion, and I love that I've got to know people, even if I've never met you guys.
You wouldn't have loved the sexual thing she just mimicked.
I also can't see her, so that's another benefit of only being able to listen.
You're missing out, buddy.
Oh, I'm going to have to Instagram video that one.
Whew.
So, okay. So, Mark, what are you calling about? What do you want?
Okay, so I used to be addicted to politics, and it's still hard not to watch it. And I watched the vote last night. And I do not understand what the point was of the whole shutdown if that was going to be the result. I don't see how those 85, 88 Republicans who voted with the Democrats last night, they have alienated themselves. Chances are those Republicans, because they have the R moniker, are probably going to be primaried out next year or lose to the Democrats. The 144 Tea Party, or the terrorists, or whatever you want to call them, because that's what they're being called.
I believe Jeff Daniels called them the Taliban.
Because of the gerrymandering. So they're going to win. They're going to be fine. It's those 88. I don't get it. They did not get anything out of it in terms of a political win. I'm sure that they're going to be, if they lose their jobs, they're going to be fine. They're going to get a nice pension, whatever. But I don't get the sense of what was the point.
I think the point was fundraising, and we made this point earlier that really it's about standing up to your side, and really the problem is the two-party system. Go ahead, Greg.
There are going to be three kind of primaries in this next, I guess, political season. There are going to be a bunch of Liberty candidates that run within the GOP. There are going to be a bunch of hardcore Tea Partiers, like what was that lady from Delaware? Her name's escaping me right now.
Oh, Christine O'Donnell.
O'Donnell. Yeah. And then there are going to be a bunch of moderates that try to out Democrat the moderate Republican,
right,
as reasonable. Those are going to be the three types you're going to see depending on the district makeup. Those 88 that voted last night are all in, not necessarily vulnerable, but ones where being a Tea Partier or a true hardcore conservative, it's not a winning combination for you. They got the okay from leadership to branch off so they could still have them in the bag when they got into the next Congress.
Let me ask you guys this question. Do you think Mitch McConnell wins?
Oh, definitely now. He just brought $2.9 billion into Kentucky. You know how many jobs that is?
But they also have they're going to have an ad showing Harry Reid saying how wonderful Mitch McConnell is. Nancy Pelosi saying how wonderful Mitch McConnell is.
Doesn't matter.
I don't see it happening.
But he's got so much money, at this point it's irrelevant, and Kentucky's about as red as it gets. So yeah. Whoever runs as the Republican there wins.
I don't know. We're in the age of unthinkable. I think, first of all, Glenn Beck has lined up behind Matt Bevin and FreedomWorks as well. And once you start to get all those old-timers out there knocking on doors trying to get Matt Bevin elected, you never know what could happen.
But keep in mind, it's those Tea Partiers that were saying, keep the government out of my Medicare. I mean, they are
tea
small
partiers?
Government.
Remember, the Tea Party doesn't exist. You keep saying the word Tea Party when it doesn't exist.
Sorry, I mean
you mean Republicans.
Yep.
Okay,
I do.
You're on a jihad today.
No, I'm not.
You're getting a little personal, you pansy. I'm just pointing out it's not the Tea Party that's doing this. It's the Republicans that are still left.
I'm sorry, I said it wrong. All I was saying was that he is going to be able. It's funny, on local level, Republicans love to brag about the pork they bring home, but then on the national level, they fundraise by being anti-government. So it's one of those things where he absolutely nailed it in by getting that $2.9 billion, and on top of that, he doesn't even have to take credit for it because they gave it to him.
Does pork actually work anymore?
Oh, on the local level, of course.
I don't know.
Oh, you know what I mean? He can stand up there and say, I'm going to grow in Kentucky, $2.9 billion,
yeah,
where the average wage is like $6 a year.
Well,
it's like straight out of Borat.
Just think about local elections.
Hold on, Maya.
Isn't that just appropriation?
Hold on.
That's just appropriation, right?
Yeah, it was an appropriation as part of the continuing resolution last night.
Hold on, Mark, just a second.
It's not really – it's just how you allocate the money. It's not necessarily – I just don't see him – that's just business as usual, and that money has to be spent anyway.
No, it does, but I mean, because he got it to come there, he will get to run on being a job creator, and his opponent will get opponent. When that question gets asked, if they do a debate, would you have supported $2.9 billion coming into the local Kentucky economy? His primary challenger, why do you hate jobs and hate other Kentuckians from seeking employment? It's a really easy narrative to kill someone with.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean,
I could be wrong.
A lot of pressure on Rand Paul to keep his distance.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think that'll be.
He was going to support him.
That'll be interesting to see if Rand Paul stays behind McConnell. Now,
did you see what Lindsey Graham said today?
No, what?
Oh boy!
Real quick, Rand Paul and Ron Paul and McConnell and everything. Remember, Ron Paul got huge amounts of money for his district, and always let that happen because he said it's going to go somewhere. Might as well go to my district. Rand Paul's going to back the same thing. He's like, at least it was to us.
No, he's going to abstain completely on that issue. He is playing it very close to the vest, and he is being as strategic as
he's actually getting crap from, you know, some of the FreedomWorks crowd because he wasn't out leading the charge like Lee and Cruz.
But it was brilliant because now Lindsey Graham comes out and says, you know, he was so reasonable and such a gentleman. Steve King called him a gentleman today in Politico. I mean, he is getting the nomination. It is going to be if he is really a libertarian and this is all an act, it is absolute friggin' brilliance on a scale I've never seen.
All right, Mark, any final comments?
No, I think that's it. I'll look forward to hearing the podcast in its full. And don't. Hang up and meet it too much.
Oh, no. We love Maya. So we're just... It's finally nice to have arguments on the show. Like, Creighton and Galt used to go at it all the time, and there hasn't really been any conflict, but it's been nice to argue. I just love that Maya just said the phrase, you're getting kind of personal, you pansy.
And Mark, please call back every time we do this. You are our favorite caller.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, man.
And way to exercise diplomacy, Greg.
Yeah, so go to WeAreLibertarians.com and check out Mark's new column. I want to I want to talk to Maya a little bit about binaries. We've had this conversation before on, I think, Creating Maya, and it's the tyranny of the binaries. Okay, and if you are done with your Pringle there, go ahead and finish up that Pringle there. But the tyranny of the binary is this choice, this false choice that you only have two options. Okay, that you only have Republicans or Democrats. You can only have Chips Ahoy or Oreos. You can only have Pringles or baked Lays.
Male or female.
Male or female. What are some other false binaries that we that exist in this day and age?
Oh, goodness.
Well, I heard one today, and this is what made me think of it on the way here. There was actually the new C-SPAN Lectures in History podcast is about the Ku Klux Klan in Indiana in the 1920s. And he said part of the root of that was the false binary of the Western. So, you know, it's the cowboy in the white hat versus the evil Indian. You know, there's only good or bad. You have to choose good or bad. And that was part of the psyche of America that at the beginning of the movie age is that all the movies were good or bad. You know, if you're a criminal, you're bad. There's no gray.
You get that with women. There's either thin women or fat women. There's this, there's that. There's never an in-between. And it's the culture we're in. You have to – you don't necessarily go, hey, my product or my idea is the best. It's like, no, theirs is the worst.
Status minarchist? Just saying.
What?
is that one binary?
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
Anarchist or status, choose.
Anarchist or status, choose.
It's a horrible thing.
There's no in-between at all. What if I disagree? I want...
No, it's not necessarily in between. It's a third. It's more than two options. I can be an anarchist. Maybe I could be a mutualist or an ANCOM, ANSOC. I could be an anarchist.
But they're all anarchists.
Not technically.
Well, not purely by definition because they still believe in institutions.
But then
of
you've
rule.
Got multiple versions of anarchists. What exactly do you mean when you say anarchist?
Outsourced government. Outsourced government.
That's what you say.
Yeah, that's just me.
Some people think 1930 or 1930s government was minarchist. They say, let's roll back to that. Some people say Civil War was good.
I can't help stupid.
The Articles of Confederation, you know.
You can go anywhere, but there are very – everything's turned into binary. It's either you're for this or you're against this. You see it in science when they're fighting for grants is that, you know, the bug's his and's either this or it's nothing. And there's a lot of absolutes thrown out there that either you're for it or you're 100% against it. And libertarians deal with that constantly.
Yeah. And so I think you see this, you know, hey, Maya's a bombastic personality. Maya says bad words on her Facebook. Maya goes out there and does this or that. Well, making you uncomfortable doesn't mean that she's bad. You know, and that's part of it is like, get back in line. You're out of line. You're good or bad. Well, the world is more complicated, and that's part of our problem in politics today, is that the world is complicated, and that it isn't just good or bad, right or wrong, my side or your side.
Well,
there's shades of gray to everything.
We see it in activists like Joe Hopman's always giving me crap for how I do things. I mean, I made a post that says if you vote in 2016, you're an a-hole. And he's like, well, I know I'm just an a-hole now, and you know, you're not going to really reach a lot of people if you keep calling them a-holes and everything else. And it's like, but that's a strategy of mine, and it works. It works very well for me. For the people I'm trying to reach, he has his own strategy where he's super nice, long-winded, and uses lots of big words. There's other people that are like Julie Bregowski that use really small words, short clips, and is very quiet or very loud and short and to the point. You've got people like Adam Kokesh. It's so in your face, it's scary. You got people like Cantwell that throws in humor and really long form stuff, but it's very, very abrasive.
Or
so,
Jeff Tucker, who is super positive, and you know everybody has a different way of
stop mentioning Jeff
something.
Tucker because it makes me wet every time because he's just he's like the anarchist version of Bruce Willis with a bow tie.
You may be cool, but you'll never be Jeffrey Tucker in a bow tie. Cool.
Yeah, that man's old. Shut up. So, but.
Wow,
you know
you're getting personal, you pansy.
I'm gonna burn.
I'm just gonna move this over here.
But it is. You see it in movies. You see it everywhere. That's why sometimes some of the best movies that people really like is it's a play where it doesn't give you that binary where the bad guy isn't really all that bad. That's why The Dark Knight did so well because Batman was pretty bad. He wasn't exactly a good guy, but the other guys were bad too, but they were they still really fought for what they believed in. That kind of goes back to the whole idea of Magneto was right, is that Magneto believed so strongly in what he was doing, even though everyone else thought it was wrong. And then Xavier had his way of doing things. But in comics, I guess nerds are a little bit better about seeing through the binary, is that, you know, think of Star Wars, a great thing to use as an analogy. You've got the Jedi, the Jedi forces. You've got the Empire and all their people, and then you've got the Republic. And so there's always more than just one side or two sides to a story.
And let's to show you how deep it is in our culture, take something like Breaking Bad. Okay, so Breaking Bad has a conflicted hero. Okay, you've got a guy who starts making meth for his family and, you know, turns into this monster. And by all accounts, he's a terrible person by the end because of what he does and that he hurts people. But you still root for him. And so it becomes a complicated situation in your own mind. And there's many gray areas in it. And because this is so different than everything else, it is lauded as one of the greatest TV shows of all time, rightly so. But it is so abnormal that it starts to stand out. You know, the rise of the anti-hero.
Well, there's one step better that was better than that, and I think is still going to be considered the best show of all time, is Lost. Think of how many opposing forces there are in Lost. You've got so many different sides to cheer for. You cheer for one guy one minute, you're cheering against him the next minute. And I think Lost was the better example. Because even in Breaking Bad, you're cheering, you know, for the main plot points. You're still going, you're either picking Heisenberg, or whatever the hell his name is. You're either choosing Heisenberg or the other guy. It's always a binary one-on-one battle. Versus like in Lost, it's a million damn different people. And that's why a lot of people couldn't get involved in Lost, because it was more than just this guy versus that guy.
Right.
It was this guy versus like 30 different other people. And I think that's why that stood out so much, is because it was huge.
Right. So let's apply this to an issue. Give me an issue, a political topic. Let's take immigration. Are you pro-immigrant or anti-immigrant? Are you for building a fence, or are you for open borders, you hippie? You know, healthcare. Are you for single-payer system, or are you for a free market system? You know, it's maybe the answer is a little more complicated, because while I believe in a free market system, this is part of our argument sometimes too, Maya, like that you and I have, is that you just can't wave a magic wand and have it be over. Philosophically, we're in 99.9% agreement, but how do you get there?
Well, it's you get there by me. No, I'm serious.
I believe Christ also said, "I am the way, I am the path, no, and no, the no, light." No. Maya is the way and the path of the light.
Think about it.
And a nice ride.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Is that I am... It's the Overton window. I pull things so far,
right,
one way, that I am so far out there. I'm the social terrorism, how far out there I am and how many people I tracked. Honestly, I tracked my way of thinking, or at least challenging the status quo in their own minds. Is that's what you do. You get a group. Okay, hypothetically, things collapse tomorrow. Just roll with me. Things collapse tomorrow. There's a big lapse in government. There's a bunch of infighting. It's like where other governments collapse. There's somebody fighting and jostling for power. A bunch of us say like the Free State Project, the Blue Ridge Liberty Project, Free Detroit. Maybe some people like the different networks I got here. We band together. We start our own system. We fight against the rise again of a government. And we start doing something through that massive, you know, way outside the box movement, through our actions and through example, we convert people to our line of thinking, saying, hey, we're living in squalor fighting for a leader. These people are leaderless and doing pretty well and surviving and growing and thriving. So why don't we go to that? People see me. This person's absolutely insane, but they make sense, and they seem to be kind of happy and doing well, so maybe I'll go that way a little bit.
Right, but again, that's an abstract situation. That's a hypothetical situation.
That is 100% possible.
But I will say that in a real example, the way that you present things, the way that you are absolute, is that Overton window. So people examine their own beliefs about government and the philosophies of government, and they say, okay, well, I'm going to choose differently. And that's part of the conversation, is we have to start choose differently. You don't have to just choose red or blue.
And the thing is, like, I know Maya hates that, like, for me, I am an incrementalist. Like, I see, like, you guys see that this can't go on forever. That the United
there
States government
is no doubt about it. We are on an unsustainable path.
Except we can. Our future is Britain's, right? So we're going to print, deflate, make small cuts, make it so our budget deficit isn't big enough that people drop our sovereign debt. We will continually manage it so that the existing power will stay in power.
There's a problem with that.
Which is?
Yeah, there's people in this country will always stay in power. Even if this country fell apart and turned into a second or third world country, those people will have more power at that point in time. They will have more control because less people will be able to fight back. Two, with countries like the BRICS countries and all these other countries rising and gaining population and everything else, this isn't like the British Empire. We don't have Europe under our toes to control and everything else. We didn't have this massive empire that we'd built and just recently dismantled some of. Those other countries don't care if we go away. No one will care when America falls. No one. I mean, Israel might.
Has anyone cared that Britain's gone away? They're irrelevant.
Exactly. No one will care. So our failing is not – no one's going to try to prop us up. China, there's many countries that are still benefiting it.
But Britain's still
an
arguably top five influential country in the world and will always be.
And right. and the European Caucasian world.
No, the
Nowhere
whole world.
Else.
The
no,
whole world.
The British Empire has a false sense of power.
Doesn't
they
matter.
Do.
They're on the
they
United
don't.
Nations Security Council. They have veto power.
How many people – really pay attention to that. Remember when we talked about Syria? There's like, what, 12 different resolutions that all the countries just ignored? So that's what I'm saying, is that all these other countries have – they have over half the world's population under them.
All right, but
– but they're irrelevant. I'm sorry.
All right,
they
let's
are.
Bring it. Let's bring
they
it back.
They are irrelevant.
Okay, stop all trade and movement between China, India, and the United States. See how long we last.
All right, let's bring it. Let's bring
it'd be
it back.
A huge correction, but.
So how do we apply this critical thinking of recognizing the false binary in our own lives? How does it make you think differently?
One, especially if you like liberty and want to see solutions, and I advocate this all the time. I am not Maya's adversary. I support Maya wholeheartedly. I believe just like Maya.
Right.
I just am willing to play the game. I believe I will play the game. Maya is awesome at what Maya does. I feel like I'm decent at what I do. And Spangle and I are pretty much, we believe the same things pretty
yeah.
much.
We're like the two twins on the motorcycles.
Yeah. And then realistically on the show, like, and Creighton's about a degree different than we are now.
Yeah.
He will play the DC game. We'll play the political game. And then Maya, we want what Maya is talking about. We're not sold it can happen yet.
No, I think
and we're all on the same team, and I hope people feel that way.
My point of view is that I can only deal with the reality that is presented to me at the moment. And so you have to make choices in the moment. So
I like the world of technology. I like visionaries. I like the whole idea of science and that one tiny thing can revolutionize and change the entire direction of the human race, one tiny thing from one person. And that's possible with society. That's possible with everything. Look at, like, Michael Jackson changed everything about our culture.
Right.
But the aristocracy always end up owning that change. That's the difference.
Hold on.
Always.
There's always something about the context of today. There has never been a point in history that information has freed as slowly or as quickly as it has now. And I think the flow of information is the one thing that has always stymied people's progress historically, is that the free flow of information, the ability to master many different techniques and many different skill sets all at the exact same time within one's lifespan makes the American context, us right now in our modern age, so far different from any other point in history.
But who controls the internet?
We do.
Who?
We. You know what?
Governments.
No, hold on. You shut down the internet? I don't care. I can get packet internet tomorrow. I have the equipment sitting at home right now. I could have packet internet tomorrow. There's enough network. I agree, but
you're 0.01%, and now they're going to know exactly where to find you.
Right. But you're that's on a podcast. That's
Silk Road was the worst. Getting hit was the dumb one. It was a huge strategic mistake by the government. They knew where all the criminals were. They didn't have to go anywhere else. They could have just said, they're right there.
There's three
now
other websites there's twice the number of people on Silk Road and Tor.
All right, but we're getting a little too off the
course
here.
I'll bring it back. It's fun to beat the binary is to be an individual, to find something, a goal, a belief, something that you will strive for no matter the consequences. Something you will hold dear and you want to fight for and that's yours. It's yours alone. Me, being able to live as a free human being. That's my life's goal, to live freely, no matter how short-lived it may be or at what cost. And do nothing but fight for that so you don't break the binary. When you fight for somebody else's ideal, you have to play by their rules when you fight for, hey, I want a smaller government. You're fighting in a collective. You're fighting for the same thing all these other people want and have control over, and you have no ability to create your own reality, your own world, versus as an individual, I do. You think like Bill Gates living in a world without personal computers, like, man, I guess I'll just keep building office computers because, it's just the way the world is and, no one will ever buy home computers. That's absurd. Or any other person that's done something revolutionary. They had a belief or a passion that they – of their own, not of anybody else's, not set or bound by any other rules. I'm done.
Okay.
You shouldn't be done.
Yeah, I like it. It was valid. I dig it. Way to be.
All right.
You out of your phone.
No, I'm trying to find the question. Somebody had written in a question to us, and I cannot find it at the moment. Let's see here.
Unless they specifically asked for me, I'm not going to answer.
I know. It's all about you. Okay. This comes in from Travis. This is a political question, so Maya probably wouldn't care anyway since she's peeing. She doesn't give an ass. When your budget is small, what is the best way to run a campaign? Getting the word out to most of the voters and getting name recognition? Gina Bear, you've run for office.
I have.
What would you say?
With the tiniest of budgets.
With the tiniest of tens and tens of ones of dollars.
Yes, tens and tens of ones.
What is the best way to run a grassroots campaign, in your opinion?
Having not won, I'm not speaking from success.
Okay. We are libertarians. Welcome to the Club of Disappointment.
When I ran, I focused more on the issues and not being a talking head so much as actually at events and things. I can't say that I was as active as I should have been in the community. There were definitely ways to go about name recognition that I could have exploited and didn't.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know necessarily what the best way to do it is. All that I know is that I acted with integrity, and I have a great support system whom I think helped me more than I helped myself. Perhaps, but my budget was under $200, or right at what was it? It was like $147.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, I did okay.
Maybe we've unplugged the microphone there, Gregory. It's off on the switch there. So now, your thoughts?
Well, I was gonna say you won like 13% of the vote, right?
Last I heard, yeah.
Yeah. So like, what I see a lot is people run and then don't run anymore. Like, you ran, you got 13% of the vote on, realistically, what, dollar for dollar? Like, $10 a vote?
$10 a percent.
Yeah. So what I see is that, you probably changed some minds, but people have to experience something about two or three times. Like, I especially see that here in local, Andy Horning. He has become more and more popular as he's gone on.
Yeah. He's built a base over time.
And that is one of the biggest things I see is that, especially third-party candidates run once and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I moved, so I'd be in a different district, and
I get it. I know there are real world things that change that, but like if you stayed there, probably 17, probably 21, and then you wait for them to make a Murdoch mistake.
That happened with Rex Bell. Rex Bell ran for the third time, and he got 21%. It's the first time in 85 years a third-party candidate got over 20% in a three-way race. Damn. And I think if he had run and kept running maybe one or two more times, he probably would have gotten elected. He ended up running for a different race.
In the race that I was in, though, the opponent that whose office I was seeking is someone I support. So it's not as though my life's mission is to get him out of office.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean,
so, I mean, where I am, there might be a race that I would enter if it seemed to make sense and the party was behind it and somebody would pony up more than $200.
So, yeah, I would say I would plan on running a couple times. I think if you're a first-time candidate, you're going to make a ton of mistakes. You're going to do it wrong. You hopefully won't do anything that will damage your political career. But as a libertarian candidate, you probably won't.
I mean, I was pregnant, so I think I got special treatment.
Yeah.
Because...
You get pregnant, Travis.
I think, there's another way to do it, too, is thought leadership. Is establish yourself as someone with ideas that are so new, so different, and almost slightly fringe enough or so new there's not time to attack you on them. In the last GOP primary, which I know is not important, but Newt Gingrich had no ground game whatsoever.
Right.
He did not have a team. He had the backing of Sheldon Adelson, but he didn't have any staff. And because his ideas were new, he attacked the media, and he came off as a guy like he's a grumpy, frumpy old professor that pontificates all the time, but he's extremely well-informed, and his ideas set him apart from everybody else. Even though they've been very bad, he was so new and his ideas were new and fresh that, you know what? Since there was no one really in the race anybody liked other than the Mormon and the Texan that reminded everybody of Bush and couldn't remember the three government, one of three that he would shut down, it looked like, oh my God, Gingrich is remotely competent. Granted, he's an old battle axe, but
philanderer.
He seems new and exciting, and he won the South Carolina primary with absolutely no staff.
I think from a libertarian candidate perspective, don't let your ego get in the way.
Yeah,
which means select the right race. There are some people who think, oh well, I've got to run for mayor. Listen, the people need me to run for mayor.
The people.
When really you ought to start out at Center Township trustee. And then work your way up to, you know, a county commissioner, and then work your way up to city councilor, then work your way up to mayor. I think libertarians need to start a little bit smaller. And I think we have shown this week that, hey, let's start thinking local. Let's start empowering local governments. Start saying, let's stop relying on grant money from the federal government. Let's opt out. If you're running for office, opt out of the federal government. Do everything you can to get us out of there. I would start small and I would, you know, hey, do the basics. Get your stuff printed. Make sure your stuff is well designed. It's printed nicely. Get your friends and family. People come to the Libertarian Party thinking that there's going to be millions of volunteers and then they get frustrated. Your Libertarian.
Yeah, I had zeros and zeros of volunteers.
Right. Your Libertarian Party can
Through
offer
the party,
you,
I had
hopefully,
friends.
Yeah. Hopefully they can offer you ballot access if you're right. In a state that values the First Amendment. So you will not get any money or volunteers from the Libertarian Party, maybe a few. You're going to have to rely on your friends and family to recruit them. And if you are going to operate a ground game of knocking on doors, you better make sure that they're willing to do it for you. So, you know, if you're going to run an internet campaign...
Right. Good luck.
Good luck. But you're really not going to make that big of an impact. If you want to run an internet campaign, start a podcast or a blog, you know, you're just better off doing it that way. So hopefully that helps. All right. On to the next question about cyberbullying. I am 19 and I've been an active Big L libertarian for about 4 years now. I recruited my whole family, two parents, two sisters and grandma to the Ron Paul campaign. And such an active person in libertarian politics, I feel alone in my stance. I am so very glad that you provide a news source for me that I feel is on the side of liberty and classic liberalism. I have a question for you in regards to the Maryland law passed a few weeks ago about Facebook and cyberbullying. I apologize, but I don't think any of us in this room looked that up. I didn't do my job prepping everyone on that, but so we'll speak to the principle of it. Do you think this is an overreach of the education department, or do you think it will prevent suicide and self-harm via Facebook cyberbullying? I know Facebook has the prerogative to look into cyberbullying, but is their relationship with the Maryland Department of State a form of corporatism? So again, I apologize we don't know about that specific law, but do you, Maya Axton, believe that the Department of Education will be able to prevent cyberbullying on Facebook?
No, the only people who can prevent cyberbullying is the people, the users themselves. There's a block button. And sad to say, no, cyberbullying is real, and the effects of bullying is very real. I understand that. But it's when people expect somebody else to save them. It's when that little fat kid, little kid or that little short kid or weird kid stand up to that bully and punch him back. That's when the bullying stops. That's when that person reaches the level.
The
of,
Yeti
you know,
moment.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying you should punch people in the face or whatever, especially not kids. I mean, that's it's just his age. You're going to go to jail, but, you know, whatever. But you punch back somehow. You know, there's a lot of different strategies to deal with it. You block people. You create a new Facebook with a different last name. You only add close friends. Whatever. And if you're really having problems, you're that weird that you're getting picked on nonstop, is just get off the internet or at least social networking. I mean, it's sad. But no, with the problem is that schools and state-sponsored schools breed these horrible bullying environments. So as long as those environments are exist and are endorsed at such a massive level, and options aren't allowed, to, you know, options outside of publicly state-funded controlled schools, it doesn't exist. And
why? Let me interrupt you. Why do they create that environment?
Because it's low standards. It's a horrible environment. It's where they say all kids are exactly the same. So kids inherently find ways to make each other different. And because it's modeled right after our society, which is modeled after our government, is that there's a hierarchy and there always has to be somebody on top. There's always a winner or a loser. There's always a binary.
Oh yeah.
Full circle.
Right. Bringing it back. That's but a callback, people.
It's enforced completely 100% in that environment versus there's schools all over the world that don't do that, that allow children to just operate how they operate and learn what they want to learn. And there's a lot of different theories on it. I don't want to get into that right now, but it's the only way to stop bullying is stop going to public schools or any school system that operates under the same idea of hierarchy that our society and government operates off of.
We would need some sort of cultural shift in order to conquer bullying.
And that is the problem. And, you know, so many times we try to find a government solution to a spiritual problem.
The internet solves a lot of problems.
Well, and see, the whole situation itself is a binary. It's not the school or Facebook or it's not a bill or not to pass a bill. It's what's the source of the problem? It's the school. And I think I know we'd need a cultural shift and else, but to anybody that has a problem with bullying or is against bullying, convince people to get their kids the hell out of public schools or any school that's modeled after that. Well, you know, if you care about your children, because bullying, especially these days, because you can't go home and get away from it, and you can't feel like an outcast for not being on Facebook or whatever popular social network there is. That's not really a valid bit of advice. Is that you want to hang out with your friends and be online, but as long as it exists, pull people out of that system. I mean,
frankly, the solution to bullying is to whoop asses. When you sit here and talk about the bully, that bully, what it is, the bully is your child. And if you don't know that your child's the one doing the bullying, then maybe you should tune in, or maybe your child's being bullied. But, I mean, frankly, it's a group of little badass kids that need a good whipping.
But let me ask you this, because we don't believe in initiating force. I mean, is punching somebody who is taunting you a good enough reason to hit them?
It depends on the taunting.
Well, it depends on how it goes.
At school, as a alpha-ish wannabe male, I had many kids that I've gotten actual fights, and I had many people, you know, lunge at me or talk about this or that or threaten violence. And after not too long, I ended up initiating violence against them, sometimes extreme amounts of violence against them. And it solved all my issues. You take the biggest, baddest guy that talks the most amount of trash with you and threatens you with violence and lunges at you, and you never really know if or not he's going to do it. You take him out, and you're done. But That only works in a weird, messed up, unnatural world that is the public school system.
Yeah, but guess what? That's the world that we're living in. So is it the right? Was it the right choice? Did it?
We have a mutual friend. You know how she solved her problem? She got her kid the hell out of that situation. You can't expect a kid, especially a smart kid, a good, kind, good, caring kid that didn't take after crappy parents, to truly be able to operate and be happy in a corrupt system. It's like, you know, hey, I know it's freezing cold out, but you don't really need those clothes. Just deal with it. You know, you'll figure something out. That's not fair. That's you can't expect a child who is still everything that's good in this world to be able to operate in a stagnating pool of puke.
All right, so let's go to Greg now.
There are two parts to that. One, with the free online high school we have now, Wired just did a great article on it and how kids are thriving and excelling way beyond their grade years because it's available. They're able to operate in a vacuum. They build their self-confidence. If that's your kid, get them in that.
Yeah, I talked to somebody about unschooling recently, which is basically,
awesome.
Which I had to look it up, but I'm not even going to really tell you what it is. I want you to go to Wikipedia and look up unschooling.
Look, and Peter Thiel's behind this, and Peter Thiel is funding the guy that started this with $100K. It is a brilliant idea. Unfortunately, the thing about this bullying thing, and this is why like I like the idea of the online school, is that life is high school. Life is beating against social norms everywhere you go. Any
except
job you
it's
take.
Not in a microcosm, and you can get away.
You can
in
find,
school. You can't.
You can find your niche. You absolutely can. But still, if you want to reach for the stars, you still at a certain point have to compromise and fit that mold to really reach the pinnacle.
That is, and Maya is very right when she says that it is a microcosm of our society. I mean, school is about socializing you for the world.
Yeah,
and the world is. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that everybody in this room was bullied as a child. I'm just going to say...
Fact, but it went both ways in my case.
Yeah. No, I was bullied by many, many people in elementary and middle school.
I'm still being bullied, so, you know.
Well...
You don't come on this podcast if you don't want to be bullied.
That's right. And I would say that there is... Are you getting sensitive? Greg was just joking. Come here.
No, I was bringing up the point, you know, like just last year I was getting, you know, death threats and...
No, I meant you bully us for being impure.
No, it's because you're idiots!
That's
what
you're I
meant. Pansies.
Not we bully you. No, you bully us.
Oh, I'm being bullied, you f***ing assholes.
Exactly, right? You've got the loaded gun. Yeah, we're the bullies.
I don't care. I know Maya would never hurt me.
Oh, you initiated violence against me. I get to murder
totally
you.
Totally broke the.
Oh, that really hurt. You just broke my kneecap.
That was a love tap. Yeah, I was trying to show you affection
I'm
and love.
I'm a weak man.
You can't help it.
You said weak man. Weak man.
But then the other thing, though, is if what allows this to happen is that parents don't tell their kids, like the majority of the kids, they see a bully. They decide, well, I don't want to draw that bully's attention, so I'm just going to let this go. And they see a kid get bullied for no reason at all. Be the kind of parent that says, listen, if there's an injustice, if there is someone that is being bullied, stand up and be a real...
No. No. You know why you can't tell your kid to do that? Because they go to jail. There's a zero tolerance policy. If I would have done today what I did in school eight years ago, I would have been in jail. If I would have done what I did in school then, I would have been absolutely charged.
The rules
with
are
crimes.
Changing quickly. I honestly, yesterday, I went to a friend of mine's house and she has four little boys, and the oldest one's like 11 or 12. And he was telling me a story, and he got his facts wrong. First, he said the kid was expelled, but he was actually suspended. Anyway, it was over a Twitter picture, and that just floored me. It was like,
right.
What you do on Twitter can affect your education.
It's like the kid who was shooting the Nerf gun in his front yard and he got suspended for violence.
What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Just real quick, though, I don't mean necessarily physically. I mean, teach your kid to be smart and crafty. If he's outmatched physically, Sun Tzu, don't engage your opponent.
It's time to teach
win.
Your kid a little Machiavelli.
Well,
make him mentally
plant
tough.
Plant a bag of Coke in the kid's high school bag.
No.
Booyah.
You
expelled and his life's ruined.
You want to say you care for your child.
I'm gonna write a book called The Agorist Guide to Parenting, and it's gonna be how to kill.
No, and it's gonna
boys.
Be horrible.
Yep, for sure.
No, well, you know what? If you care for your child and you want your child to succeed to the best of your abilities, you don't put them in that horrible situation in the first place. People say, "Oh, they won't
all
be
right,
socialized. They won't be whatever." But no, seriously, You don't put them there in the first
place. That's an
place.
Option, but it's ignoring reality.
No, it's not, because a child outside of a school can still develop social skills and can still network with smart people. You know what happens to a kid that you homeschool? They skip dealing with college kids. They skip dealing with the little high school kids.
But then
you know
they enter
do?
The corporate world and
no.
find out it's all about
no, you know what they do?
Not skill or merit.
No, no. You know what they do when they enter the corporate world? Is first off, they enter it, they find out it sucks, and they start their own company, and they rule it. Every super successful person out there has either done two things. They played the game, were corrupt, backstabbers, evil, vile people, or they knew what their merits were, they worked hard, and they cared not for what anybody else thought, and they worked through it, and they succeeded.
Yeah, name but you one, know what? And I can discredit every one of those.
But Peter Thiel.
Peter Thiel? Guess what he did before he did what he does now, Clarium Capital and the Founders Fund.
But he learned,
didn't
he?
Oh, no, he was the CEO at PayPal. Guess who PayPal was funded by? Sequoia Capital, the same people that screwed Sean Parker at Napster, because he was in violation.
Hold on. But
there
is
one.
Up.
There
all right,
is
hold
no,
on.
No,
he but didn't. He went to school. Let, he woke up.
All right, hold
he
on.
He sees the need
gotta,
for different thinkers,
gotta,
but he is by no means a outside the box thinker. He's the best thing we got, but he is by
okay.
no means.
Bill Gates.
Go try to get an interview at Clarium Capital or the Founders Fund without a Stanford
undergrad.
Four of
my last bosses that own very successful businesses never made it out of middle school. My dad didn't even make it out of high school, and he's owned three very successful
businesses. I'm talking about the
businesses.
Elite. I'm not talking about the person that owns their
Wait,
little own
but the
small
elite
business.
Only exists within the vacuum that is a government-controlled economy.
I agree, but Bill Gates doesn't succeed without U.S. government backing. Larry Ellison, Oracle.
Hold on. Don't talk over him.
I'm saying Larry Oracle... Or Larry Ellison, the CEO and founder of Oracle. You know what Oracle was? It was a CIA database that he was hired to develop. That's why he's a billionaire. Mark Zuckerberg, if he doesn't build a trapdoor for the U.S. government to be able to monitor social media activity in schools, never succeeds. You do not make it to the elite status without playing the game. And ignoring that and deciding not to learn how it's played
but hold on.
Is a travesty for a kid.
No, wait. Is it, though?
Yes.
So you want to force and teach children to say, hey, I know this system's corrupt and evil, but you should sell a little bit of your soul and your principles to succeed in this system, because succeeding to this level where you have to sell out, where you have to be corrupt, is a good, morally just place to be. Is
no.
What you just said is that you have to sell out
okay.
to succeed, to be elite, because... To Mark Zuckerberg, evil, vile people like that that have to sell out to succeed, those are people to aspire to be like. And you want to tell a child that you have to not be a morally just person to succeed in this world, or you won't be judged as successful.
I didn't mean to position
so
it like
if,
that.
If you have
hold
a small
on.
Company,
back
it's
it down
not good
to about
no.
a five.
No, small companies aren't okay. You are a failure if you only have five employees and you only make a couple hundred thousand a year. Failure. Pop Rupert,
no,
failure.
You're
Rupert,
completely,
failure.
Again, distorting the point of view that he's trying
I'm
to
I'm sorry
express.
If I present it like that. That's not what I meant. What I meant is that your kid has a couple choices. He can either choose to go the route where he doesn't rise to that pinnacle, or he can go through that school system and learn to deal with it and bite the bullet and say, you know what, even though the world is false, because the world is hard. The world isn't fair. It's totally unjust. And you know what?
You think the world's hard? Try having a podcast.
Exactly. So, yeah. Spangle has to put up with us in chat room. I mean, try having chat with Ripley for 5 hours a day. Just kidding, Ripley. We'll see you soon for sushi. But I didn't mean that, Maya. I really didn't mean
so
it like
we
that.
So we should tell one of our mutual friends to put her daughter back in public school.
No, that's
because
what,
that's the best
that's
choice.
Not what anybody's saying. Quit distorting everybody's opinion to make yourself right.
But you're saying
that's
you're,
not
you're,
what he's saying
he
at
said
all.
If you do not have your child in public
Girls.
School... If you don't have your child in public school, you are putting them at a disadvantage.
No,
that is
no,
what
that
you said.
Isn't what he said at all.
Greg, did you say that or not?
I'm saying if he doesn't learn that life isn't fair and how hard it is to ever achieve greatness, they won't.
But you're saying you could only learn that in public school.
You're making an either or choice.
No,
you're
not
creating
public
a
school.
False binary.
No.
And
boom.
In a big school.
Yeah.
No, not in public school. No. In life is politics. Life is
but
is
what
bobbing
can you teach
and
that
weaving.
At home school?
No, you can't, because the socialization process
really?
Is so important. Being able to
really?
Read a situation
but we,
and understand the factors at play, you can never do it in a homeschool environment.
But
you can't.
Two questions for you then. First off, so when people are homeschooled, they're completely sequestered, never interact with other kids or other people or ever experience social interaction? That's first question. Are you saying that's what it is that you – with being homeschooled, you lack social interaction? Two, when people homeschool, they kind of, especially these days, they create their own little community, and people kind of follow with like-minded individuals, and they build their own networks, and they build their own little their environments and their social structures of like-minded people that are successful, driven, and more intelligent than the rest of the masses.
Right, but you're creating an argument that somehow he is saying what he is saying
he
is that you have to hold on. You have to prepare your child for the politics of the world. Now, he's not saying that you that only exists inside of public schools, but that you also have to recognize that you have to teach those values. And there are plenty of homeschool people. This is, once again, this is libertarians who agree with each other arguing. I mean, that is what he's saying. And frankly, I went to a public school. We all went to public schools. You know, I was bullied, but there was my bullying was no worse than our typical arguments with each other, and it made me mentally tougher. Okay,
it ruined my life.
I wasn't psychological. It didn't ruin your life because look, you are 26.
You know why I didn't come out as a kid? Because of the social institution I was forced into. You ever f-ing think about that? That you don't have to be socialized in a goddamn country to succeed. You can be a fucking individual and be just fine.
Maya, we love you.
We do.
Yeah, go fuck yourselves. Go have your social fun.
Okay. So, I'm at a loss for fucking words, Spangle. Help me out here.
I don't know.
Okay, it's unfortunate that we live in a society where each of us has demons, and for whatever reason, some of us allow them to bleed onto other people.
Right.
Or in some cases, they explode upon us ourselves. We explode them. Whatever the f*** just happened here. Whatever you want to sum that up as.
I couldn't be a bigger Maya supporter. I'm just saying that there's no evidence that if you do truly want to be the pinnacle of your field, you got to know how to play the game. And choosing to ignore that limits your options. That's all it is.
And Maya's on the underbelly, if you will, of learning that lesson, I think. I think Maya will eventually get to a point where she'll reach for something so high that she'll need help. And then she will learn exactly what it is that you're talking about. But until she has a dream that exists outside of herself and her close circle, that won't really become a reality to her. Like, I wouldn't say any of us picked on Maya this evening, and yet she exploded as though we had all attacked her.
I just presented an opposing argument.
I understand.
Yeah.
I may not be right. I'm just saying
that, you know, not everybody has the option. Maya is 100% right. Like, if you're in a situation where you're being bullied, then I think it comes down, and Gina's the only parent here, but you've got to have a solid connection with your kid. You've got to understand what they're, you know, if they're acting differently, you've got to have those conversations. And if it's a situation where they're really in trouble, you've got to save them from that trouble. And sometimes taking them out of school and giving them a different path is much, much better, you know. But none of us are sitting here arguing that you can only be successful if you go to public school. That's a false assertion by a long shot.
Yeah. All I was saying, you can only reach the pinnacle of your field if you'll play the game and indulge.
Right. And you didn't even necessarily state that public school was necessary for that, only that proper socialization and the ability to recognize how to behave in situations where someone is bullying you would benefit an individual.
Right. But I would argue that our moral compass in society is so far out of whack, and this is what Maya was trying to say, is that reaching the pinnacle of your field, being career driven, is part of our problem. What is that thing that is going to make you happy? You know, what is going to make you
only
what
you
is
can
success?
Decide that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, is that we in society, because of many different factors, have our paths chosen for us. You know, so
I don't debate that for a second. I'm just saying the people who make those sacrifices of deciding to indulge the game or deciding to ignore their family life, ask Ronald Reagan's kids hate him. I mean,
right.
You don't get to the absolute pinnacle of your field without making trade-offs that may not make you happy.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with not being Mark Zuckerberg if you can start an enterprise software company that gets you $200 million. but you just may not be the guy that gets to build schools for $100 million in New Jersey at 29 years old like Zuckerberg.
Right.
You've got to exchange, you know,
there's trade-offs and
sacrifices
everything.
For the glory.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap up.
That's all I was trying to say. Yeah.
Let's wrap up.
Thank you. It's been a long show.
Any final thoughts, Gina?
I am at a loss for thoughts. I would like to promote Sun King Brewery simply because it's what Greg brought for us to drink on, and it's local. So yay, Sun King.
And they make good beer for being Purdue graduates. I mean, I'm shocked it's not like, well, that'd be racist. I'm not going to go there.
All right, racist. good. All right, Greg.
Two things. One, Maya, I'm sorry if you took that wrong. I really didn't mean to hurt your feelings or cause you to explode because I couldn't be a bigger fan of yours, and I did not mean that in any negative way. I just wanted to present what I have observed, and I could totally be wrong. And then two, Halloween's almost on us. I'm
a
big fan of Irvington, and Irvington's
they
ghost.
They have a great street parade.
Oh, yeah. They have a street parade, but then they also have the Irvington Haunts.
Oh.
Irvington Haunts is a ghost tour. Irvington is on a parallel that is one of the most haunted in the world. Every town that's on it is haunted, and they call it the gateway to the other side. And if you go on it, I can promise you this, you will hear a ghost on recording. So everyone should go.
All right. If anybody knows a good therapist, I could use it.
Yeah. After that episode,
it's been a bit traumatizing. I've been hit. I did get violated. That is the very first and only time.
How do you feel that Galt didn't get hit, but you did?
That is
no.
Perhaps Pansy was correct.
Hey, you know what? You play with fireworks, get a finger blown off every once in a while.
Yes, you do. It's
part of it. All right, people. Thank you for listening.
I love you.
This has been an excellent episode of Weird Libertarian. For those of you who love fighting, we brought you all of the entertainment you could ever want. All right, so...
Oh, we got a show to record.
We do. We have story time with Gina afterwards, so stay tuned for that. All right, so next week, we promise...
to do better next time.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.